Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The city suffered a big loss over the weekend with the loss of former Titan tight end Frank Wycheck. He passed away in his home this past weekend, and I know all of us have heavy hearts, losing a good friend, losing a great teammate, a great man, a father, an uncle, a friend. But we're remembering the good times, some of our favorite memories with the late Frank Wycheck. D-Maze played with Frank Wycheck. Willie worked with Frank Wycheck. But you also all have memories and stories. We want to get into those. Wanted to get into your memories of Frank Wycheck. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jack will kick us off. What's up, Jack? Go ahead, Jack.
Jack, are you there?
Well, do we have Jack?
Yeah,
there we go.
Jack.
Hello? Yes, go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead,
we just got you, Jack. That was our fault. Go ahead.
Okay. I always told myself if I ever got a chance to talk to one of you guys, D-Maze, I would tell you, and Willie beat me to it. You guys can't ever forget that whole crew that you were on, Steve, Eddie, yourself, Munch, all of them, those will always be like our first love. The one you always go back and remember when it was all brand new and before time went by and you learned about how cutthroat pro football could be and all the rest of it. You guys will always have a place in all of our hearts. And Frank was a big part of it. He was always like the big goofy kid brother that everybody was always crazy about. He was just that guy. The other thing that I wanted to bring up after all these tornadoes and all the unfortunate things that have happened, I had an idea. Most all of us are buying Christmas presents right now, and there's Christmas presents you got to have, wife, mom, dad, what have you. Then there's those other things where it's like, okay, I'm going to buy them a tie, socks, whatever. What I'm going to do, and maybe it will be an idea for everybody else, take the presents that maybe somebody can live without, take that money and contribute it to the right charity to help these folks out. And that's my 2 cents.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Jack. Appreciate you for tuning in. Also, if you would like to help in the effort to aid those affected by the tornadoes from this past weekend, the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee and the United Way of Greater Nashville have activated emergency relief funds. So if you would like to donate or any more information on that, you can visit them at cfmt.org. But Jack brings up a good point of
it's a great idea. Such
early years of the Tennessee Titans having a team as magical and seasons as magical as they had. Of course, Frank Wycheck was such a massive part of that. I think that's so important in the infancy of a professional franchise.
Yes. And, you know, I've spent some time thinking the last couple of days, Mace, and I know you think about this. We've lost too many of those guys too early, right? We lost Steve years ago. We lost Floyd a couple years ago. Now we've lost Frank. It's too early. That's really, really sad at that point. But the legacy, right, is what Jack was talking about there, and that's important. You make your mark. You know, that's the thing that we try to take with us.
Right.
You know, amid the sadness.
And think about the good times.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, that is what today is for. Our memories, our stories, and your memories and stories as well. Will from Nashville texts in, says, just heard Plaz and so true. Frank was always challenging people to, you name it, hoops, sprints, hitting a baseball, ping pong, anything. And frankly, he was a good athlete. So even though, yeah, he was cocky, he usually won some of those competitions. But I'll never forget, after he'd been in radio for a bit and had challenged probably everyone in town, he volunteered out of the blue, I'll take on anybody in anything except for one person that I've learned not to challenge, Willie Donick. That guy is good at everything.
I don't know about that. He hasn't seen me try to ice skate. But that was fun about Frank. Again, I remember that after he retired, just getting exercise, things like that, he would play pickup basketball with us sometimes. We had a pretty good run. You know, Drew Maddox headed it up. We used to call it the Lunch Bunch at Vanderbilt for a long time, and we would play a couple days a week at lunchtime. Then it evolved into a morning game that Drew Maddox sort of captained over at CPA for a long time. So we're talking about ex-D1 players and really good athletes, people who would pass through town. It was kind of a who's who. And so Frank would play with this. But he would also go to the local Y and play. And that's what was funny. It's like somebody would say, I played pickup. I scored on Frank Wycheck. Like, it meant so much to them to be able to do that.
At
you know?
The Y on Concord.
Yeah.
To play at the Y on Concord.
Yeah, that's a good spot for sure.
And as we remember one legendary Titan in Frank Wycheck, we bring in another legendary Titan.
Like, who could hoop in his day as well? Brad Hopkins.
He is aye.
You think, come on, D-Mace, give him some love. It's 2023. It's legendary now, right?
Yes, he's legendary.
Right, B-Hop?
Don't hate, Mace. Congratulations.
He is aye, you know.
You know what? At Willie Caroline, Mace's game was on par with Frank's game. It was all right.
Well, I mean, you can tell us more about Frankie because obviously, you know, he was there with you, B-Hop, in Houston. You know, after, you know, the Titans got him, well, the Orders then got him from the Washington Redskins back then, the Commanders now. So you spent more time, you and that bunch, Blaine and those guys, spent a lot of time with Frankie, especially you being on the offensive side of the ball. So you can give us, you know, more stories, stuff a little bit more in depth.
You know, the tight end position is probably the next closest thing to being an offensive lineman. And that's the way Frankie was to us. He spent just as much time blocking as he did running routes. You know, so he played in our reindeer games. Derek, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Played in those balled-up tape games that we used to play and the stupidness that we did to pass the time in training camp. He was right there in the middle of us. And, you know, for Frank to come to us the second time around, meaning his second team, he came with a little bit of humility. You know, he didn't come in there assuming a role and thinking so much about himself. You know, especially who knew that he was going to grow into the legendary Frank Wycheck that would help us secure the only AFC championship this franchise has ever had. You know, but him as a person, it just made sense. You know, here's a guy that was self-deprecating when he would scream, "I suck," when he jumped off sides, the very first play that he was in with us. You know, and this was a guy that, you know, and I say this lightly because we really didn't understand the implications of head injuries to this degree, and we made fun of him. You know, we laughed at the fact that he was knocked out all the time. And looking back at that, that was such a terrible thing for us to take lightly. But we were just dumb kids and didn't know. You know, so not knowing that that would affect the quality of life that we would have later on, the way we think, you know, our whole process, I do feel a bit of guilt having partaken in those kind of situations. But, you know, we live and learn. And I think the game obviously now takes those things more in consideration than they ever did when we were playing, Mace. But unfortunately, it was too late for Frank.
B-Hop, one thing, too, that I'd love to hear your perspective is the relationship between specifically the left tackle and the tight end, right? You guys are lined up together a lot. You have to communicate on blocks. You game plan so much. So that's really a special bond, isn't it?
Well, normally it is, Willie, and I understand exactly where you're going, so I'm not going to take away from the question, but I didn't want Frank blocking me blocking with me. I didn't want anybody blocking my
you
guy.
You wanted to do it yourself and let him do other things.
By myself. That's my job. And in my opinion, if I needed help, then I wasn't qualified to do my job. I was a left tackle for a reason, and I took that personal. If I felt I needed help with a guy, then that was probably the time I needed to hang up the cleats. So I would tell Frank every time, even though it might have been a play design for him to chip on the way out because we were playing somebody else, I said, "If you touch my guy, I'm going to kick your ass."
So what
because
would he say?
Well, and Derek will tell you, he knew better. He knew better than to touch my guy. Because, see, the thing is, in my setup point, I'm not expecting help. So if you chip the guy past the point where I think he's going to be, now you just made my job harder. Same with the running back coming out of the backfield. If you chip my guy and I think that I'm going to be working inside out on this guy, all of a sudden you knock him inside, you know, further than what I expected him to be, now I'm scrambling trying to adjust to what you did, and I don't want you doing that. You know, it's a chess match out there between me and that guy on the other side of the ball to try and get to Steve or whoever was back there. and I knew the game I was trying to play, so I didn't want any assistance. But to answer the question, yes, that relationship is symbiotic, because guess what? There have been a number of occasions this year watching the Titans where that dang tight end should have just stayed in completely and had six blockers to help these tackles block guys like Myles Garrett and the likes. So, yes, it's a very important relationship that they have. Communication is of the utmost importance. And it also goes to show you the difficulty of being a tight end, because in one instance, he's down there running 7-on-7, working with the receivers and running routes. And then next thing you know, he's running 9-on-7, doing the grunt work, working in the trenches with us. So he had to be a master of all trades.
And then he was on special teams. Frankie was a jack of all trades, and Frankie was back then it was the H back. So Frankie was the H back slash tight end. He was sort of the hybrid, and I told Willie and Caroline, he was doing things that not many tight ends were doing back there. We can name on one hand how many other tight ends that were capable of not only blocking, but also going out in pass routes and being a key cog in what you do passing. Gonzalez was one. Who else was another? Jackie, once he came to us, BIP, he was sort of toward the tail end of his career. There may have been three or four tight ends beside Frank that was doing, you know, what he was doing. So just talk a little bit about that, because we look at the tight ends a lot different than what we look at them now. And when the tight ends of the past, you know, are mentioned, you know, Frank's name should be mentioned in those tight ends. Do he have the gaudy numbers? No. But tight ends back then, they were specific in what they did. But Frank sort of did more on a team that rarely passed the ball.
Yeah. See, an H-back in today's game is not 6'6", 6'5", looking like a Zion Williams with shoulder pads. Mm-hmm. That's today's tight end, because they are a mismatch and they're fast. You know, you see a lot of these athletic tight ends that run a 4.5. You know what I mean? Maybe even the high 4.4s, and they've got the size to complement that. Frank wasn't big. Frank wasn't fast. Frank was shifty, and Frank was smart. I remember Rowan, Mike Rowan. Mm-hmm. He was a guy that played the game like that. Always in the right position, understanding exactly when the play broke down, how to mirror the quarterback and find those cracks in the zone that made him an asset, you know? So I think that just being in the right place, having just great hands, you know, to catch almost anything in his catch radius, that's what made him unique. But today you expect the tight end to blow dudes off the line of scrimmage when he can, especially if a linebacker's covering him, or just being able to go up over the top of a shorter DB. You know, those are the advantages that today's tight ends have. But when you're a guy like Frank, you know, that sometimes traveling from distances to lay a block, which is hard in itself, you know, that's what he mastered, and something he took full advantage of.
And I think he would want us to throw this in there. 5 for 6 for 148 yards, 2 touchdowns, quarterback rating, or passer rating, I should say, of 158.3.
Pretty darn
pretty good.
Good
stuff. Pretty good stuff. Couple touchdown
passes.
Yeah,
we're in the number 89 too. Yeah, right.
And that does not include the lateral, right? Of course,
yeah, the
Bills,
lateral is a
Bills
different
fans
thing.
Might
yeah.
try to have some fun on that one, because that was a lateral. Yes, it was a lateral. It's been proven. But these are regular season numbers: 5 for 6 through the air. He could throw it a little bit.
Yeah, but think about this though. Lorenzo had enough confidence to give it up to him to throw the lateral versus him, since he was the one that received it. He said, here, Frank, you're the one that's going
to
make this
Because he
happen,
wasn't
right?
supposed to throw the ball. It was supposed to be Frankie that got that ball.
Right. I think Lorenzo said, I blocked so many people, I don't think I could get my elbow up to really throw it anyway. So he was like, here.
Shoot. Low Daddy knew to give that thing up because probably threw it into the stands. You know what I mean? So he...
But talk about it a little bit, in the locker room, because we all remember, you know, the stuff on the field and how valuable Frankie was, to this offense, and how at one point he was the passing offense. But just talk about him in the locker room. You mentioned briefly some of the shenanigans and stuff that he was a part of, along with that offensive line. But just talk about him in the locker room.
You know, one character trait that Frank was that actually can be viewed as his detriment was he was more introverted than you would ever realize. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wasn't the dude leading the conversation. He wasn't the loudest in the room. Matter of fact, he sat back and listened more than anything else. He participated to the ump degree, but it wasn't like he was leading the charge. There's a lot of big mouths like myself that will be, you know, giving the direction, right? That just wasn't his persona. And he never portrayed that to be, even when he got to be older than everybody else in that meeting room. It's just, it wasn't his personality. He was kind of quiet that way. And I say to his detriment, fellas and Caroline, that those are the things that keep us separate from each other when the game is done. You know, he wasn't one to reach out when he needed support. He wasn't one, in my opinion, to, you know, tap into the only peer group that he knew that understood exactly what he was going through. And we all tend to do that. You know, I think that there's an air of invincibility that we all walk around this planet with because we did a high-risk job that can affect the quality of life. And we were sometimes just ignorant to the fact that we need each other and we need to be able to communicate. So when I heard that Frank passed away, I thought about you, Derek. Mm-hmm. I thought about Eddie. I thought about Zach. I thought about all of us that have survived him. And what are we doing to maintain that level of connection that was the only thing that we knew in our 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. Football is such a unique experience in that you've never been asked to commit so much of your life to something that has a shelf life of sometimes single-digit years. Doctors go to college for as many years as guys have played in the league to then have a career that lasts them until their 60s or whatever. But that's not the case for us. So what do we do to keep the connection with our brothers once the game is done with us? And done with us, I say very poignantly, because when it's done and it's over, there is no looking back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very well said.
Well said. And that's what I, you know, mentioned to Caroline and Willie. You know, when I found out yesterday morning, early morning, it was like a gut punch, you know, because you don't. It stops and makes you, you know, because we're all right around the same age and we all, you know, we're in that time period of we're all growing up in this city together. So you don't look at it from the standpoint because you're thinking, man, we're all in our 50s. We all seem to be in good health and you don't think about your mortality. And a lot of that is what you said, Brad. It's like we played such a physical sport that, you know, it's like, okay, we survived that. You know, so you don't think about that, not until you hear a situation like this. And would I have thought that I would have gotten a phone call yesterday morning about Frankie? No, I wouldn't have. In a million years, no. But you get it. And then it's like I said, it's a gut punch because it's like, okay, man, he was 52 years old. This is a guy that we ran around playing a game that we played when we were little kids and we had fun and we were goofy and we were just kids in the locker room, grown kids in the locker room, that once we walked through those doors, it was being a kid again. And once we walked out of those doors, we had to get back to being adults again. And you just don't think about it. You know, once it's done, you don't think about it. You think, well, everybody will be here for a long time and we will get a chance to be around one another. And then when you hear something like that, you're like, nope. That's not the case.
I mean, Caroline, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
How many people have you worked with that you know have passed away?
I mean, lucky enough that I don't have very many.
Yeah. Willie, I could ask you the same thing. For me, eight.
Eight.
Wow. Eight.
Too many.
Going back to my rookie year where we had a teammate commit suicide. We've lost players to heart disease. Eddie's predecessor, Rodney Thomas, had a heart attack. Damian Williams had a heart attack. Todd Williams had a heart attack. Steve was murdered. People that I know that I've shared the gridiron with have been killed in car accidents. It's crazy to say, but you can't ever determine when these things are going to happen. And for us to be reminded of it in these moments, it sucks.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right about that. So, you know, it's just it causes you to reflect. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we all get busy. But fortunately, I think, and this is why, you know, because I told Caroline and Willie, Frankie was the one guy that I always wanted to see. One, because very seldom did he come to things. And, you know, we get it. You know, your life happened and you get busy with a bunch of stuff. And like you said, Frank was sort of an introvert anyway, by heart. But you get to doing all your other stuff and you sort of, time just gets away from you. But that's why I'm so happy, like, to be able to be in constant communication with people like you. You know, like, I enjoy, like, truly enjoy seeing you. Like, I give you a big hug. I enjoy seeing you. I enjoy kidding with you, whether it's Kevin Dyson or Joey Kent. You know, these guys that, yeah, we don't talk much, but, you know, when I see you, I enjoy seeing you. Now, you and I, we communicate a lot more often than some other guys may. But it's just, I appreciate that part about it, you know. You know, whether it's me sending, you know, Merry Christmas to just about everybody that I have information on, or, you know, Happy Holidays. But those things, you know, in the big scheme of things, they may be small, but they're big. I appreciate you for continuing to be a friend, whether it's been, you know, we've talked about a lot of stuff, you and I, B-Hop, and I'm sure we will continue to talk about a lot more stuff. But just having those friendships, like you said, that you can tap into somebody, you know, just to see, hey, what's going on? Or they tap in with you and say, hey, you all right? And you, yeah, well, I'm good. And then you sort of move on with your day. So,
you know what? I appreciate you saying that. And the thing is, the transition, guys, from playing professional sports to the real world, like we like to call it, it can be the most dangerous thing ever. Because not all of us are equipped to make that transition. I was proud of Frank because he found a process. I'm proud of you, Derek, that you're part of something that you can build on and move with. There are a bunch of us that have no idea of what tomorrow is going to bring, especially when the game says goodbye to you. And that can be the scariest thing. That's why mental health is so important, not only for just people like you, Caroline and Willie, but for people like Derek and I that have gone through some stuff, and that is such a temporary thing that we're involved in, you know, at an early age. I mean, if you think about it, we're entrusted with the most wealth that we'll ever have as adults at the dumbest period in our lives.
yeah, you got a point that. There. No, yeah. You're right. Think 20s, early 20s.
Right. If somebody asks you, Willie, hey, look, I'm going to give you $20 million. You can have it right now when you're 22, or you can have it when you're 42. When would you rather have it?
42.
Exactly. But that's not the way it is for us.
Right. And now, Brad, when you say that, I think about NIL and all these college guys who are now 18 or 19 getting significant money. It's just, that's the problem, right? You're not mature enough to handle that kind of stuff. It's hard.
Yeah, but even to the further degree, I think it is these adults that are 42 that recognize that payday too. And also these kids that I remember now before NIL became available, scholarship checks, when half of them were going home, especially to those kids that came from underserved communities. Mm-hmm. Should it be their responsibility at 17, 18, 19 years old to you know, build the house? But in essence, a lot of these kids are the only male in their house or have been entrusted with being that guy because they made more money in a scholarship check than their parents were ever bringing home. And that's a responsibility that no kid should have. Yeah. But unfortunately, that's the space we're in. So you see a kid that's, you know, eating you out of house and home, and he's 14, 15 years old, people automatically around him are saying, oh, he's going to play professionally. It might not even be the best thing for that kid. Because then all comes that responsibility of being somebody that has to manage money when you don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. So it's a slippery slope, man. It's a slippery slope.
Brad Hopkins, appreciate you for your time and for your candid feelings about that. Those great Titan teams. Appreciate you for stopping by, and we'll remember Frank Wycheck for the rest of the day and for the rest of our years.
Willie, Caroline, thank you. Derek, mm-hmm. I love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Brad Hopkins, Titans legend, appreciate his time. And just hearing everything that you both have to say, Willie and Derek and all of the – and George and Brad Hopkins and former Titans teammates, it's very obvious and clear how beloved Frank Wycheck was. So we'll continue remembering Frank Wycheck. We'll get into your stories and your favorite memories of number 89. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.